talking freshness through this morning, I wanted to read two parables from Luke chapter 18. They don't seem really related, but I think God put them right together for a reason. Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain of them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. We confess our sins every week. Every week we come here and we confess our sins to God, and God tells us in the first parable, look, you keep praying to me, and I'll hear you. You should pray always. Not faint. So let's confess our sins to God this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be your people. We thank you that you have given the grace to allow us to confess our sins to you. We pray that you will forgive us of our sins, both of the blatant, obvious violations of your law, as well as of the pride which corrupts much of our lives. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Over and over we ask for your forgiveness because you commanded us to pray always and not faint. So Lord, we come to you again this morning, as we have done many times throughout this week and weeks past, to ask you to forgive our sins. And we know that you hear us, for you are a just God, and because we pray these things through the shed blood of Christ, and in Jesus' name we ask for forgiveness. Amen.
Our confession of faith, we're going to be continuing with the Westminster Confession of Faith. Before we start, three review questions. Why are we here? What's the chief end of man? What's the principal purpose of man? Exactly, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And what's the chief authority we used in order to know how to glorify God and enjoy Him? The Bible, the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, the Word of God, the very Word of God is what we use. And then just because we've just done talking about sin and we've been reading that section, what is sin? How is sin defined? Right, that's right, a violation of God's law. Any one of conformity to or transgression of the law of God is sin. So God determines what's sin, not man, not opinion polls. God decides what's sin. We finished the last time talking about original sin and the estate of sin and misery into which we had been placed by our transgression of God's law. But today we move to the hopeful section in response to that, sections 20, 21, and 22. Now I understand we don't have the projector today, so I guess I'm going to have to read you the answers. But I have a couple people up here who have copies of it, and so they're going to help me read the answers. Seth and Daryl, please. Question 20. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? And the answer is, God having, out of his mere good pleasure, from all eternity, elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the state of sin and misery and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. I'm going to repeat that in the modern English version because there's a lot in there, but it's all very important. Did God leave all mankind to die in sin and misery? And the response in modern English, from all eternity, and merely because it pleased him, God chose some to have everlasting life. These he freed from sin and misery by a covenant of grace and brought them to salvation by a Redeemer. Amen. Thank you, Joe. 21. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? And the answer? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the Son, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And in the modern English version, who is Redeemer of God's chosen one? The only Redeemer of God's chosen is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who became man. He was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And then the final question we'll address today, how did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? And the answer, Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. In the modern English version of that, how did Christ, the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by assuming a real body and a reasoning soul. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, who gave birth to him, yet he was sinless. So we'll move on next about our Redeemer and the nature of his offices. That's what we'll be talking about next week.